to contemplate the seven words of Jesus from the cross. But tonight I consider it maybe helpful for all of us to remember that there is ultimately one word of God, the word that became flesh, your dear Lord Jesus Christ, the almighty and eternal Son of God who has become flesh and dwells among mankind. It is that one word of God which the Father now speaks in the flesh of Christ, especially in his suffering up to death upon the cross. And now you are called upon to hear and receive that word, this God's prayer. And you are called upon to do so on Easter Sunday, and on Pentecost, and on Christmas, and throughout the whole year, and throughout your whole life. In the beginning was that word. And with those terms, St. John begins the gospel under inspiration of the Holy Spirit that bears his name. It sounds like the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created. And so St. John marks here for you and me and all mankind that the Lord Jesus, the Word of God, is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He says all things were made through him. Without him was not anything made, but was made. Wherefore also he has come in the flesh, now in order to sanctify and redeem his own creation, and to bring it to the fulfillment of his good and righteous will for those whom he has made in his image. He is the light of the world, and he is the life of men, calling light out of darkness and breathing life into heaven. So he is the one who gives new birth through water and the Spirit, who also works and heals and gives life, even on the Sabbath. For as the Father is always working, creating, and preserving life, so does the Son, the Word of God, continue to work and give life, thus providing rest for man. He is the resurrection and the life, so that all who believe in him, though they die, as did his friend Lazarus, yet shall they live, as surely as Lazarus was raised again. This raising of Lazarus from the dead is the anticipation of the hour of Jesus, when he will finally accomplish and manifest his glory, not in the way the world would expect, but in the glory of the cross and the shame thereof. His raising of Lazarus ushers in that hour of his glory, when he himself is lifted up on the cross for the life of the world, and thus draws all people to himself. So what is the point and the purpose of God in doing all this? In the person and work of his incarnate Son, Jesus Christ, coming into his created world in the flesh of mankind, the creature, what does it mean that Spirit of God, and thereby rejected the life and the love of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Thus, the incarnation of the Son of God was undertaken for a twofold purpose. The first, it is the way whereby God would reestablish his divine image in the flesh of men, in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, who is both true God and true man. And thus the Father thereby accomplishes in his Son the primary purpose of his creation of mankind. Secondly, in Christ, he rescues all the rest of us, the fallen, from sin, death, and hell, through the forgiveness of sin, the defeat of death, and the satisfaction of judgment over and against your sin and mine. It began with the creation of all things by and through the Word of God. It's fulfilled in the incarnation that is the coming in the flesh of that same Word and of his voluntarily suffering and dying the death of the cross. And why did he do this? All for the sake of that same divine love for which all things were made. God himself in the flesh also lays down his own life and sacrifices himself upon the cross in order to give himself in loving service to his creation. So once more, your loving God creates out of nothing by and through his Word, by submitting himself in the person of his Word to the point of death. Thereby, everything is turned inside out, because the light of God has entered the darkness, and the divine light has stormed the gates of Hades. So then does he also give up his Spirit. He hands over and restores the Spirit of God, the breath of life, into the flesh of man, which could only return to the dust from which it came. So it is that afterwards, Jesus breathes the Spirit of life into his disciples to send them to speak his Word. And through them, by the apostolic Word spoken into you, by and for the forgiveness of your sins. It's all in Christ and the breath of God. Those of us who are privileged to play such a part, to speak that Word, rejoice in its hearing. So it is, once again, as in Genesis, when God had finished all his work, what did he do? He rested. So, our dear Lord Jesus Christ, when he has finished his work, which began publicly on Palm Sunday, that last bit of his work, so Christ also rests in his tomb on the Sabbath day, whereby he sanctifies and establishes this perfect Sabbath rest for you and for me. Therefore, dear friends, even death is no longer able to frighten or alarm you, because it has been filled with the peace and the presence of Christ. Now, on the day of resurrection next year, we shall look at that day and what it means in the life of God's people here and throughout the world. For that day ushers in a new eternity, because all of Christ's work of creation and redemption has been accomplished when he cried out from the cross, "It is finished." On this day, on this Good Friday, the new sixth day, it was accomplished in the cross, the crucifixion of the incarnate Word of God. Everything that follows is, it was so. In his final, it is finished. and of the Son and